John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC, broadcasting live in exile from my living room in Palm Springs, California. And it's time to open up the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, we start with some very interesting breaking news.
Now, breaking on AM 790 KABC.
John, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis just wrapped up a press conference, and we're going to dip in for a second to see exactly what he's talking about, and I think you'll be very interested in this.
And so if you look at Miami-Dade County, even though the state of Florida is far below the national average in terms of the unemployment rate, here in Dade County, it's one of the highest unemployment rates in the entire state, and it's way higher than the state average and higher than even the national average. And the main reason for that is because the federal government and the CDC has locked down this industry for over a year. This is not reasonable. This is not rational. And guess what? If they say that cruising is not safe, even with widespread vaccine availability, all the testing you want, they have now antibody treatments that have been very effective. They have all these different things. It's a much different situation than a year ago. But guess what? People are still going to go on cruises. You know what they're going to do? Instead of flying to Miami, spending money to stay in our hotels, spending money to eat in our restaurants before they get on the ship, they're going to fly to the Bahamas. And they're going to get on the ships from the Bahamas, and they're going to spend the money in the Bahamas, and then they're going to do the same thing that they would have done. It just won't be helping the state of Florida, and it won't be helping our folks here who really depend on it. So how does that make any sense? It doesn't. It's irrational, and this is something that we don't believe can continue any longer. And so today, I'm happy to announce that on behalf of the tens of thousands of Floridians whose livelihood depends on the viability of an open cruise industry, today Florida's fighting back. We're filing a lawsuit against the federal government and the CDC demanding that our cruise ships be reopened immediately.
Good for him. And he's 100% right. In fact, I was looking earlier today at booking a cruise out of Nassau in the Bahamas. Because that's a way of getting around all these stupid CDC rules. And I was going to get on the ship, and I'll go have a good time, and then I'll get on the plane, and I'll come right back to California. And guess what? I have the antibodies, and then I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, so I'm good to go. And if the CDC doesn't like it, they can stick that in their pipe and smoke it, because I'm going on that cruise ship. And the state of Florida is the entity that's going to miss out. Because if the state of Florida had cruises going out of it, I would go there because it's much easier to get to than Nassau in the Bahamas. And you don't have to deal with customs. You don't have to deal with all the BS you have to deal with when you travel international. But people are going to get on cruise ships. And I would point out that we've had cargo ships. You say, oh, John, boxes can't infect one another. No, but they all have crews on them that have been safely operating. We have aircraft carriers in the military that have been safely operating. You can operate ships safely. And if you think about what a cruise ship is just a conglomeration of a bunch of things that are already open on land. The casinos are open. Restaurants are open, swimming pools are open, barbershops are open, spas are open, not in California, but elsewhere. Why can't you allow a cruise ship that's just a floating version of all of those things? Why can't they be open? And the answer is there's no good reason for them to be closed. The cruise ship should be operating. The cruise ship should have been operating for a very long time. So kudos to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is increasingly becoming my favorite to be the next president of the United States. All right. It is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. She is a medical doctor, a former member of Congress representing the state of New York, who you can follow on Twitter at Nan Hayworth. Dr. Nan Hayworth, welcome.
Oh, John Phillips, it is such a privilege to join you always, and what you have just reiterated, of course, is the natural outcome of any form of prohibition on human activity. It will always fail, and it will always drive activity to other alternative routes. So the state of Florida loses out, the United States of America loses out, and the stupidity continues. Thank you, the left. Thank you.
What do you think is going on with the CDC right now as it relates to the cruise ships? Because I talked to a friend of mine who's a former member of Congress representing the state of Florida, and he said that there is a hostility in Washington towards the cruise ships because they fly foreign flags and they don't pay right. American taxes the way that Congress wants them to pay. So therefore, right. their attitude is the cruise companies can just drop dead. And the cruise yeah. ships mean something to Florida. They mean something to Alaska. They mean something to Texas and Maine. But most states don't have cruise ships coming to their ports, so they don't care. They just see them as an industry that's skirting American tax law.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and look, if American tax law exists in a form that allows this kind of evasion, if you will, of the burden, as so many other potential workarounds or evasions exist, because these industries get their rent seeking and regulatory capture eagerly pursued by various legislators at the federal level, state level, etc., then it behooves Congress to change the law. As far as I'm concerned, John, it's certainly, I mean, we know that and Governor DeSantis, the high opinion of whom, your high opinion, I agree with strongly, is stating fact. You know, at this point, it's Florida that's losing out. So regardless of the larger issue about the attitude of the cruise industry, and, you know, I get it, when bailouts were being provided early on in COVID, of course, that was a big argument. So, like, well, you guys aren't, you know, you're not paying the same taxes as a lot of other American entities are. So, you know, why should you be lining up for a bailout? That I understood. But this I don't understand. And there's really no reason for it, John. There really isn't, especially when, as you say, you know, people are being vaccinated. You know, the estimated rate of the combined rate of vaccination plus prior COVID infection, which I know I've said before, as far as I'm concerned, means you shouldn't need to be vaccinated. Your natural immunity should be robust. And if it's not robust after an infection, it's not going to be robust after a vaccine either. But I think that's really not an issue. But, you know, it's approaching 70-ish percent at this point by some estimates. Open up the cruise industry. Let's, you know, open up the country. I mean, I know we've been talking about it, but Ron DeSantis is right. And the CDC is wrong. And the CDC is politicized under the Biden administration. And that is a terrible thing.
One of the other debates that's going on here in California is whether or not people who have the antibodies or have been vaccinated should be forced by law to wear the masks in public or in the grocery yeah. stores, wherever. The science is clear that if you have the antibodies, you are extremely unlikely to contract COVID-19 or get significantly ill from it, and you are extremely right. unlikely to get other people sick. We know this at this point. However, right. one LA County supervisor, Sheila Kuhl, says that we should still mandate mask wearing because people get anxiety when they see people in public without masks, even if they are no threat to them. Let's listen.
Well, that's the point I really wanted to make, is that everyone should know that even though they're fully vaccinated, with the exception of gathering with their friends, you know, at their home or whatever, as you indicated.
Who are also fully vaccinated.
Who are also fully vaccinated. Also, out in public, there's really sort of two reasons, I think, if not more, to continue to wear the mask and be cautious. One is, as you just indicated, the possibility, even though it's small, of being able to infect other people. The second thing, though, I think is the anxiety level among everybody about being anywhere with people they don't know, like, you know, in the mall or places where we're not now allowed to be, and not knowing I'm a vaccinated person. So they see me coming at them without a mask, and it's very anxiety producing.
So, Dr. Nan, they want us to wear the masks even after we've been vaccinated so that we don't piss off the Karens.
Yeah. No, that's obviously, John, not a reason to mandate mask wearing. That's sheer asininity. Then you know, what is called for in that case is public education about the facts that you just imparted about the de minimis risk of somebody else's not wearing a mask when they have either had the infection and have antibodies, have had the vaccine, and presumably then are rendered immune. There is zero reason to worry about someone else who's not wearing a mask under such circumstances. And quite honestly, and I know I've talked about it before, I don't think there should be any mask mandate, certainly not from the government level, anywhere. It's fine to respect a specific proprietor, you know, if an establishment, a private establishment wants to say, please wear a mask, that's up to them. And then, you know, free enterprise being as it is, you know, their clientele will shrink or expand depending on the preferences. But anybody who wants to protect him or herself doesn't need at this point to rely on someone else wearing a mask. They need to wear an N95 type mask sealed fully around so that all their breath goes in and out through the mask. No air passes around that. If they do that, then they need not render anyone else responsible for their risk of contracting COVID.
In Los Angeles County, we're now at a point where there's officially more supply than demand of the vaccines. Yet you can only get the vaccine if you're 50 and above, or you work in certain industries or have certain comorbidities. They will not open up the vaccines to the entire population, 16 plus, as they have in other counties in California, like Riverside County. Here's the fake doctor explaining why she's not going to open up the vaccines to the entire population. Cut 18.
Hi, I just want to follow up on Patrick's question. And I mean, we're seeing Cal OES practically begging people to show up at the Cal State LA site because they have so many open appointments. Dodger Stadium has been described to me as empty this week. So there are a lot of sites that are not county run sites that do have a lot of open appointments available. And given that we keep hearing talk about this race between vaccinations and variants, and that the county just lifted a bunch of restrictions that could lead to more mingling, I still don't get, you know, why wait to expand eligibility if the goal is to start getting shots in the arms as soon as possible.
Thanks, Claudia. I think I've answered the question on sort of what we do with appointments. We've never had doses here that haven't been used. We'll continue to work with our partners. There's a lot of flexibility in making sure we're getting people eligible, vaccinated. There's 5.5 million people in eligible groups, and all of them have not received their first dose. As a matter of fact, we only opened for people 50 years and older a few days ago. So we're going to continue to make sure that there's good access. We also know that there are people with chronic, with serious health conditions and disabilities that are still looking to make appointments. So we'll do a good job on outreach. We'll work with those sites that are showing that they have appointments. We'll do a lot of problem solving to reduce any barriers and make sure that all those doses are used this week.
Dr. Nan, if you have more supply than demand, is there any reasonable reason why you shouldn't open up the vaccine to everyone?
No, not at all. And of course, we know that unless something has changed, I'm pretty sure Governor Newsom promised that within a week from now, right, April 15th, vaccination was going to be open to the entirety of the public, if I'm not mistaken. Why not do it now? Clearly, there's the opportunity. But, you know, we've known this forever about fake Dr. Ferrer and about the bureaucrats of L.A. County. You know, they cannot stand relinquishing their power. It's a mindset. It's clearly a dreadful flaw in their way of thinking. I don't want to accuse her of some sort of Machiavellian power drive, but God knows she cannot get out of that that bureaucratic controlling frame of mind. And there's so much evidence to indicate that it's been a failing state of mind. I'm laughing ruefully. I'm not laughing. There's nothing funny about it. And yet she persists in it. I mean, that, I guess, is the power of something approaching a religious belief in the secular government world.
It's funny. Ever since it looked like the recall was going to qualify for the ballot, the warden has been trying to open up the state of California to some degree. He now says that on June the 15th, we will be open for business, but we'll still have to wear the mask and do the social distancing and all of that business. Because, you know, the science tells them today what life is going to be like on June the 15th. The right. fake doctor was asked about that date. Here's what she had to say.
Do you expect LA County to fully reopen on June 15th, or might some restrictions be maintained locally?
And in terms of your second question about whether or not we know what's going to happen exactly on June 15th, you know, I don't think anybody knows exactly what reopening looks like on June 15th, except that with a lot more people vaccinated, we know that many of the restrictions on some of our activities are no longer going to be necessary. I think that we, like the state and other counties, are going to be working really hard between now and June 15th to keep our case numbers down, to keep hospitalizations down, so that we do get beyond the blueprint. Knowing that some of the protections that we use right now may need to be continued, certainly at some settings. We're going to have a lot of children not yet vaccinated, so mask wearing and distancing at camps, in schools, I think will continue to be appropriate. But in other sites, it'll be a lot easier for us to lift the restrictions.
Dr. Dan, isn't the better question, if you're confident that we can be open for business on June 15th because of the science, can't we be open today?
Of course, absolutely. And what Dr. Ferrer is saying, of course, Dr. Ferrer, rather, says right now, flies in the face of science. Children do not need to be masked. They don't need to distance from each other. They don't need to be vaccinated. What they do need, and what she is also ignoring, is that they need contact with each other, and they need to return to a normal form of social connection. And mask wearing and distancing thwart that. Children are desperate at this point for that connection. The toll of mental illness, of depression, of overdoses in, of course, older children, but suicides even among younger children, that's none of that is getting better so long as they are isolated from each other. So there's every reason to take the exact opposite approach to the one that she is suggesting. I certainly hope that the folks who vote in Los Angeles County will bear all of these derelictions in mind when next they have an opportunity to change their government.
If you have a question for Dr. Nan Haworth on COVID-19, the lockdowns, all points in between, give us a call at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Your call's coming up, but right now it's time to take a look at the road. It's 1:36 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. The very fair-minded civil rights defense attorney Leo Terrell joins us at the top of the hour to talk politics. Right now, we're joined by Dr. Nan Haworth, who is a medical doctor, former member of Congress representing the state of New York, who you can follow on Twitter at Nan Haworth. We're taking your calls at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Let's begin with Elaine. Elaine, you're on KABC. Welcome.
Hi. There was a live stream meeting at the Orange County Board of Education last night on YouTube. And the main topic was Orange County's version of fake Dr. Ferrer. His name is Dr. Clayton Chow. And he has proposed that Orange County vaccinate their students without parental consent and notification. There were over There were over 70 parents that spoke at this meeting. You can look it up on YouTube. It goes in, I think, at about the three-hour mark, believe it or not, where the parent comments start. And it's just incredible that this man is proposing that. I do have a friend that is on a different board of Education or a Board of Trustees with the Education Department in Orange County, and she did assure me that the majority of the board members are conservative and that they would never pass anything like this. But the fact that this man is proposing it is just outrageous.
Elaine, I agree with you. That is outrageous is the word. It's shocking. There is scientific, even if we look at it from the scientific standpoint, let's say there were some compelling need. There is not a compelling need for children in K through 12 to be vaccinated. There just isn't. Doesn't mean they can't be. Doesn't mean they shouldn't be. But there is no compelling need for that to become a public health requirement in some or a mandate in some way. But for a superintendent of schools to propose doing so without parental consent is outrageous. And I'm glad to hear that the board has a majority of members who are conservative or libertarian, if you will. And it does illustrate, everyone, that you know, we win this battle on the ground. And there are all kinds of great stories across the country about folks who are taking action in ways they hadn't before. School districts, local government, really is the place where you want to start seeing incremental change that builds up from there.
You know, outrageous is the word that the caller used, and you agreed. Let me add a third to that, because I remember when I was a student in California public schools, and I had braces on my teeth. And sometimes when they tighten them, it would cause pain. And so I would need to take Tylenol or Advil or something along those lines. And the school required my mom to fill out all of this paperwork. The Tylenol had to be in the nurse's office. I had to go to the nurse to get the Tylenol. And they had all of these bureaucratic hoops that you had to jump through just to get Tylenol for pain caused by braces being tightened. How in the hell can you go from that to we're going to vaccinate your kid against your will without you even knowing about it?
How indeed, John, how indeed. And of course, those proscriptions or that bureaucratic process, if you will, was driven by liability fears, right, in those days. That's why they required all of that process, because they were afraid that some child was going to get some over-the-counter innocent intervention by a school nurse, and they were going to be sued for some reason. So you're right. Now we experience the opposite. And this is a direct effect of obviously what the pandemic has brought us to. There's no question about it. Now, that said, of course, we have about half the American population who are so passive, so dependent, so fear-driven at this point, so compliant because of that fear, that they might think that this superintendent was proposing actually was a reasonable thing to do. But this is the devastation that COVID leaves in its wake societally. And it's a terrible thing.
I have an update on this. Apparently, Orange County students will not be forced to get coronavirus vaccines. County officials say they won't force coronavirus vaccinations on children or turn schools into mass vaccination centers following text messages and social media posts in the community claiming otherwise. The rumors pushed a wave of residents to speak against the alleged mandatory vaccination at the Orange County Board of Education Wednesday meeting. The social media posts and text messages also sent county and school officials scrambling to dispel them. Quote, last night there was some misinformation that I'm attempting to prevent parents from signing consent for a minor. That is far from the truth, said Orange County Health Officer Dr. Clayton Chow during an impromptu Thursday morning media briefing. He also said nobody can mandate the vaccine. So it looks like that is, in fact, not going to happen in Orange County, and that's good news.
Excellent. Excellent news. But awareness, because it is, you know, these challenges are out there, and, you know, they're just waiting for the public to speak out. And that's what parents did, obviously, at this meeting.
Let's go to Maria. Maria, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. I got the Johnson & Johnson yesterday, and I was fine until last night, and then I got a massive headache and flu-like symptoms. Today I feel pretty good except for the massive headache, and I was wondering if doctor would tell me if it's safe to take Tylenol, and is it safe to keep taking my 50 milligrams of zinc and vitamin D now that I've had the vaccination?
Yes, it's safe to do all of those things, Maria. I will add, however, it's not unusual for folks to get a headache after vaccine, first or second dose. In the case of J&J, obviously it's one dose. That said, I can't dispense soundest medical advice without knowing you were seeing you. So it would not be at all a bad idea to just give your doctor a call and say, hey, by the way, I've got this headache, and just, you know, let your doctor make sure, because there are other things that can cause headaches. I'm virtually certain it's just a response to the vaccine. But always wise to take that precaution.
Dr. Nan, I have a follow-up to that question. I'm getting my second shot of Moderna on Wednesday. How long should I wait before I open my celebratory bottle of wine?
You can open it right away, Randy.
My appointment's at 8 a.m. Okay, doctor's orders.
That's it. Now, don't drink and drive, Randy, okay? You know, you don't want to end up in a high-speed car crash around a curvy road or anything like that, but God forbid. But no, there's no prescription on enjoying the cocktail after you've had your vaccination.
Randy's going to be having the breakfast of champions.
Woohoo!
Let's go to Natalie. Enjoy. Natalie, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was wondering, I've been looking on the CDC website, and there's many, many adverse reactions from taking that vaccine and many deaths, which they do not report. Are they lying to the public? Are they just not telling you what's really going on?
No, Natalie, I truly I don't think so. When vaccines are administered to millions and millions of people across our country and across the world, you're definitely going to see events that follow in time, and may be related or may just randomly have befallen people in proximity to getting the vaccine. So, you know, we monitor, we observe, you know, are there patterns, and obviously there are side effects that we expect, just what Maria described in terms of a headache, you know, flu-like symptoms. That's your immune system revving up, and it causes your blood vessels to dilate a little bit. I had red eyes after I got my second dose of the Pfizer vaccine, and here I am an eye doctor. It wasn't a problem. I used some Visine because it didn't look that nice, and I was fine. But those are things that you can expect when your immune system is responding to the vaccine. And actually, you know, it's a good sign that it had an effect, and that you're going to be protected should you be exposed to the virus. Some things are, you know, more unusual or more alarming. You know, a lot of folks have been thinking about whether or not the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is not currently approved in the United States, but it has been approved in Europe, may be associated with a blood clot complication that is not simply a random event. So those are the sorts of things that you monitor and always weigh risks and benefits. You know, if there are side effects that we can deal with should they happen, you know, you don't want anybody to get a nasty side effect, but if you can deal with it when they happen, you know, it's still better to get the vaccine and not risk getting the infection that can cause much worse for folks, sometimes in a predictable way and sometimes not.
After I took the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, I took it at 3:45 in the afternoon. I was fine that night. I had a bad night's sleep, but that's not unusual for me, so I can't blame that on the vaccine. I woke up. I was fine in the morning. I went to Target, and as I was shopping in Target, I said to myself, ooh, you got a headache. And then when I was walking back to my car, I said to myself, ooh, you're fatigued. And it lasted for about 5 or 6 hours. And then after that, I was totally fine.
Thank goodness. And it's not what usually happens to you when you go to Target. I mean, let's make sure. Right? Just making
sure.
When
you go to Target, you go for one thing and you end up spending $300.
Of course, they are so brilliant at marketing. Indeed, this is true, and great at design. But you're right, John. That's the kind of thing that, you know, we can anticipate. So indeed, you know, we counsel folks, hey, you know, be prepared. You may feel flu-y. Your temperature can go up. You know, you may have a headache. You may feel achy. Tylenol, fluids, rest are the things that we advise, and it's never a dumb idea to check in with your doctor if there's anything that worries you, because again, we don't want to miss anything that might be more of a problem, or that might be a problem that's completely unrelated but needs attention.
I was dehydrated too. That was the only other symptom I had.
Yeah, yep, and hydrating up is always a good idea, no matter what you're doing.
If you have a question for Dr. Nan Hayworth, give us a call at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. More of your calls coming up, but right now it's time to take... It's 1:53 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're joined by Dr. Nan Hayworth, who you can follow on Twitter at Nan Hayworth. We're taking your calls at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Let's begin with Teddy. Teddy, you're on KABC. Welcome.
Yes, I'd like to ask about the spacing. I was in a store recently, and they claimed that it's 6 feet, but I heard the CDC said 3 feet.
Right. Yes. Well, the CDC has weighed in on distancing between students in classrooms. And based on a study in Massachusetts from a number of months ago, they concluded that 3 feet was sufficient separation for students in K through 12. As far as I know, that has not been generalized to the rest of human activity in the United States, or commercial activity, but they have said that for schools, so that's probably why your average store that's trying to lay out patterns for separation is kept to 6 feet.
Let's go to Kenneth. Kenneth, you're on KABC. Welcome. Kenneth, are you there, sir? Going once, going twice, no Kenneth. Let's go to Bob. Bob, you're on KABC.
Hey, hi, both of you. Best 1 hour every day, every week. Thank you. You know, when you go to the dentist, you get covered with a lead curtain because they know how much exposure is allowable, acceptable, and okay. So how come nobody's done a study on how much exposure is needed for somebody to get this stupid virus? I mean, is it time? Is it proximity? Is it age? I mean, after 16 months of this thing, has anybody really studied how this thing is actually, lodged in your lungs?
Yeah, well, Kenneth, there have been various proxies for the viral infection as we find it in the community, if you will, and among human populations. They have done studies to see how far droplets travel from our nose and mouth and lungs, depending on circumstances. And they actually, you know, don't necessarily travel all that far unless you sneeze and things are like aerosolized. So that's one of the things we do know. That's one of the bases for that several feet spacing, essentially, because sneezes can travel quite a long way. They've studied masks in various forms. You know, we kind of know what the ideal would be for masks, but which is, you know, the N95, obviously, sealed fully around so that no air goes around the mask, but it all goes in and out of the filter. But in practice, what we primarily have is, you know, just sort of, as we know, broad statistics among populations. And human beings, understandably, in the course of everyday life, you know, if you're not a healthcare professional, you're not going to wear a mask as strictly as, you know, as stringently as a healthcare professional would. So, you know, in a lot of ways, we all think we have mask theater. So we're basing in recommendations for individual behavior on population findings, and that's one of the problems with it.
Let's go to Cedric. Cedric, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hello. Hello, doctor. I wanted to know, I'm just now getting over COVID, and I completely lost my sense of smell and taste. I just want to know, do you have any recommendation on, like, any, like, home remedies? Because it totally sucks. I can't eat no food right now.
Cedric, I you have my full-hearted sympathy, and John, as you know, has suffered from that same phenomenon, and it can take... the good news I can offer you is that it does seem that after a few months, for some, it can come back sooner, but even if it seems like a long time, it sounds as though a lot of folks do, after a few months, start getting it back. John, have you gotten your sense of taste? Has that started to recover? Yeah.
It lasted for about 10 minutes, and Cedric, the one good part about it is, if you come over to my house for dinner, you won't know how bad the cooking is.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, Cedric, I hope you feel better. Take vitamin C, you know, make sure you're getting, you know, good healthy protein and vitamin C in your diet. That helps tissues to heal up, you know, so that's kind of a general recommendation. You know, follow a good diet and know that it will get better, you know, in overwhelming likelihood.
Dr. Nan Hayworth, thank you so much for stopping by. Always a pleasure. We'll do it again real soon.
Always mine, sir. Thank you.
The great Leo Terrell joins us next for a very fair-minded conversation on what's going on in the world of politics. I hope you join us.